This is Truth Be Told, a Sheridan Life radio podcast exploring the complex issues affecting Indigenous communities in Canada. I'm your host, Danielle Orr. The Sober House Project is an initiative started by a group of students at Westmore Community High School in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. It aims to create more alcohol-free spaces in the community and normalize being sober. The idea for the initiative came from Harold Johnson's book Firewater, How Alcohol is Killing My People and Yours, an author also from Saskatchewan. Since the inception of the initiative in Prince Albert, youth groups have spread across the province and the country. I spoke with Cameron Corrigal, one of the founding members of Sober House Project in Prince Albert, as well as youth members Ty Satie and Cato Satie from Cumberland House, and Tracy Carlson, a mental health counselor and adult ally of the Sober House Project. We talked about how the project started and what it means to be a youth leader making a difference in the community. I have to say, they were incredibly inspiring.
So my name is Cameron Corrigal. I started Sober House with our SAD group, Students Against Destructive Decisions at Westmore. And it all started with Harold Johnson's book, Firewater, and he has a call to action to address his people, which is the First Nations people, mainly the Cree. But as a call to action to speak out and talk about alcohol and not just leave it as a quiet problem. So we took that and we made the Sober House Project, which is a big project to speak out about alcohol and what it's doing to our community. I go and do presentations with Tracy and Tricia Lucician.
My name is Tracy Carlson and I am a mental health therapist and I work... Right now I'm working with Cumberland House, Cree Nation, and I've also worked with Lac La Ronge Indian Band and in Prince Albert and in Saskatoon. And I became involved with the Sober House Project a couple of years ago with a group of youth in Prince Albert. So the Sober House Project began, it was sparked by an idea from Harold R. Johnson's book, Firewater, How Alcohol is Killing My People and Yours. And in that book, it was a very brave book, but what it did was, reading it with youth, is it gave them permission to tell their stories. And it brought out all sorts of, stories that needed to be told, the alcohol stories, but also stories of hope. And Harold Johnson's idea in the book was pretty simple. It was like, let's find the sober people. 35% of Indigenous people do not drink alcohol. But we have that stereotype of the drunken Indian. And it's like, you know, let's talk about this. Let's find the sober people and hear their stories. And so the idea was, is to find the sober people, invite them to put a sober house sign on their doors.
You put a sign on your door or window, and it has a logo that Tracy had made for us by an Indigenous artist. It's an eagle. It says sober house live in the middle. And I also have a sign that I made with that logo, which has more color to it, depending on which people want. But once you put that sign on your door or window, it means that your house is a sober home. You do not allow people under the influence of alcohol or drugs in your home, and there's no pressure to drink in your home. So say somebody came out of treatment and they're going home to a family that still drinks and there's still pressure to drink in their home. They can go in the community and find someone with that sign, knock on their door and just ask to have a conversation and a drink instead of going out and having alcoholic drinks. They can go and have a coffee and a tea and just have a conversation to take their mind away from alcohol and partying. It's just kind of a community support to people help people. Like I said, it's people helping people. It's not just, here's your treatment. We say you're all better. Now go out and do it yourself. After treatment, you still need that help ongoing, because if you're going back into pressure of having your family and friends still drink, it's hard to stay where you are and you might lose your progress. It's very difficult. So in a way, we're just kind of helping provide people a way to speak out and show that sobriety is a normal thing, and it's, you can have fun being sober, and it's good to be sober. It's scary to be around people who are always drunk, and it's not fun. You want to find a way just to away from that sometimes. Starting with the book, from there we just kind of talked about it and got signs made, and it just kind of started with our school. Then we started branching out into like talking to people about grants to get it funded and work with more people on it. And then eventually we got in contact with a filmmaker for CBC named Wendell. I don't know how to say his last name right, so I'm not going to say it. But he said that he wanted to make a documentary on us, and that really got our name out there. And that really got us going, and we still, to this day, have lots of people interested in getting signs and handing them out, and it's getting really, really good and out there now.
That's where it started. And so the group of youth in Prince Albert, they just had a really good response. And they started a website, and it kind of spread throughout the country. So we've got Sober House signs from British Columbia right through to Ontario. There's some in the States. We've got Sober House signs all through Saskatchewan. There was a group that came from Alberta and did a pipe ceremony with us, and took our idea to Alberta. So it's spreading everywhere. It's a message of hope. So there's lots and lots of sober people, but they're silently sober. And what we're looking to do is to give the silent people, or the sober people, a voice. And let's start telling stories of hope. And the youth are leading it all, which is really exciting. They just take it and they run with it, and they get up and speak to their community members, and they speak to their peers and their classmates, and it's just a really great empowering project for them to realize that they have the power to step up, speak out, and be the change. One of the big shifts that we're seeing is that people are more willing to talk about what alcohol does, talk about more willing to, because alcohol is a real shamer, right? It's in families, there's the no talk, no feel rule when it comes to alcohol, and that is, there's a shift happening there. So it's being more willing to talk about the alcohol story and what some of the families have gone through, and to through talking with the sober people, that's what gives people hope, because the sober people are telling their story of struggle through alcohol abuse or drug abuse, and their story of victory and how good it is on the other side and how beautiful it is to live life on the sober path.
My name is Ty Jacob Satie. I am 14. I go to Nisnawasisuk Memorial School, and I like to play basketball. I was mostly in a foster home, right? Sometimes when I move house to house almost every month when I was younger. And then there was always this one house I always moved to. At least three times when I moved there, there was this drunk. When me and my sister will get there, I was afraid, because he will always keep banging on the door, yelling. He will punch the windows. We'll have to call the cops, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's scary. It's also dangerous, because he was really intoxicated and we weren't really sure what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. There's some more dangerous times when he came home drunk when I was playing. One time he even tossed like a 50-pound weight at us. It's like, it's scary what being intoxicated can do to a person, and that has affected me on how I see things with people drinking. my friends tell me stories about like about how it affects them. Mm-hmm. But like it I think that it affected them so bad, it's like they just seen it happen. Now they're doing it, it's like kinda like a cycle. See, if you see your parents do that all your life, it's basically what you're gonna see, and it's all you're gonna know unless somebody breaks that cycle. It's basically like seeing that your whole life,
mm-hmm.
and you not knowing nothing else but that. You just basically curve towards it.
Alcohol is a dream killer. It's a dream killer for all people. And so how alcohol affects our communities is the Children's Advocate did a special report on the suicide crisis in northern Saskatchewan. It was called Shh, Listen, We Have Something to Say. And the youth spoke up there and talked about what the impacts of alcohol abuse were. It was violence in the family, domestic violence, the lack of healthy adults for role models, not enough food in the house, you know, not enough money for the things that we need. And we can look back at the history of residential schools, where there was a whole generation that was taken from their families as young children and raised without without healthy role models themselves. They didn't learn how to parent from their parents,
mm-hmm.
and were abused and came back and were hurt and was lacking support, lacking skills, lacking parenting skills, lacking, and so turning to alcohol, drugs. We're not just talking Indigenous when we talk about people turning to alcohol or drugs to alleviate pain. It's pretty widespread, but with the Sober House Project, we want to focus on the positive, and we want to smash that stereotype of the drunken Indian,
mm-hmm.
because and to accentuate the fact that there are a lot of sober people, mm-hmm. a lot of healthy families, but they're very silently sober. We don't see them. They're very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so this project is hoping to give these people the voice. Let's focus on what's on the good. Let's focus on the strengths, and let's focus on building the new, not on fixing the old. We're not going to do that, but we're going to build the new. And that's true change. That's how it's going to happen. It's by having that vision of a brighter future, a future where sobriety is the norm, and a peaceful future. So that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah, my name's Kato Siti. I go to Shalabah Community School, and I live in Cumberland House, Cree Nation. Growing up, you have a lot of confusing about why your uncle's passed out on the couch and why there's people fighting outside, or you hear a lot of yelling around the nighttime. But he has a reason. He went through a residential school. Sober House Project. It's a quiet revolution. It shines a light on the sober people without having to put the alcoholics down. You're telling your story about how being sober can lead to a much better and happier life. We go to conferences and talk about it, and we like tell stories of things we've done as a small group here in Cumberland House to our friends and to some adults who want to learn more about it. Basically, it doesn't really rely on government support. It's mostly just from the community.
Aside from a spread of the program across the country, Kato, Ty, Tracy, and Cameron have said they've seen encouraging progress and behavioral differences in their own communities.
We were over at our local hall. We were there, and we were during that National Addictions Awareness Week. We were there kind of celebrating, in a way, the sober elders. It kind of just gave us hope that you can grow old without having to take alcohol, and there's a lot of support coming from them too.
The one thing that like made me wow and made me feel good is when we did our speeches, I honestly thought like no one was going to show up, because I always thought like everyone was drinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did that speech, I was just impressed with how many people showed up and like how much sober people there were. It makes me feel safe and happy that there are people that are sober and support the Sober House. That's people that support Sober House, and it's makes a safer community.
We've just started Sober House. We've only started here, like, it was in, like, September. Like, when you think of it, it's only been, like, 3 months. Look at the progress we've made in 3 months. It's pretty incredible.
Like, overall, you will see signs around town, and it kind of feels like people are more open about being sober instead of just seeing that our town is dangerous and people drink and people party. It's not all our town is anymore. Our town is a place where you know that there are certain places where you can go that are safe and places that you can go to talk, and just technically you kind of have a whole other community of people that are out there to help.
We have sober houses all across the country. We have some sober houses in Prince Albert, LaRonde, Stanley Mission, Hall Lake, and in Alberta as well. There's still a ways to go, but it is working.
What Cato just said is also a sentiment felt by Cameron about his own community.
And before Sober House Project was started, do you think that it was hard to find places and people who supported being sober?
It was, and it still is at this time. Our town doesn't have a lot for people to go and just be sober. We have a bowling alley with an arcade, which still serves drinks, not to minors, but still serves alcohol. And we have a movie theater. That's about all we have for youth to go and do. So we're still working on finding more things for youth to do in our town.
Mm. And can you give a sense to the audience of how common it is to see alcohol abuse in your community?
So say you go on Snapchat or onto Facebook, you're going to find a good probably 8 out of 10 people, whether it's adults or minors, looking for alcohol or out partying, or pictures of them with a bottle or a can of alcohol in their hand. Mm-hmm. It's very, very common around here for sure. Where I work, I see a lot of people under the influence come in and just try to ask for money and kind of loiter in McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is negative. They can be aggressive, and sometimes we have to call the police to get them out of our restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very negative sometimes, but there are the few positive people that will drink responsibly,
mm-hmm.
like they should, but a lot of the time it does turn negative, and it can lead to fights, it can lead to just arguments, and a lot of time nothing good.
Cato and Ty say they want to extend their efforts to better their community beyond Sober House Project. They want to be future leaders and see their community grow.
I would like to open a diner, which would be a nice chill-out spot for youth. Little things like having a nice campfire with hot dogs and marshmallows and s'mores, just for kids to come out and have some fun.
Mm.
Like little weekly get-togethers for youth and adults to come out. I feel as if my vision would be, as I said, more cleaner. It would be much healthier community. You would see kids running around, playing, having full-on imaginations. Because most of the time, people are walking around intoxicated and
there's basically danger. And I feel like if I asked a kid, what are they having for lunch, they would tell me instead of having to say, I don't know. Like, they wouldn't have to worry about the next meal. My vision for the community will be more healthier, less gang violence, less violence overall. I just want to be the type of leader that that does great things, basically change the community for the better.
It's my joy in working with the youth in this project is watching them blossom, is watching them start out as really kind of, you know, scared and shy, and maybe with the hoods up, or and watching them as they get the chance to stand up and speak, and just how they grow in their courage and in their belief in themselves and knowing that they have that power to make a difference. I just love watching that. And so that's my biggest joy in all of this. And standing up and saying, okay, this stops with me, and encourage others and inspire others to do the same.
The youth that started the Sober House Project in Prince Albert saw themselves as living out or being what's called the seventh fire, or seventh generation. And this is also felt by the youth working on the Sober House Project in Cumberland House.
So the seventh fire kind of talks about having the seventh generation. And my generation, me and Ty and our friends, we are the seventh generation. It talks about how the elders from long ago, kind of our ancestors, the legend said the elders would fall asleep and grow ill, and the youth would rise up and wake up the elders. It's kind of basically happening right now, how the youth are rising up against stuff that has kind of happened, and you can kind of see it around the world too.
It's kind of just like youth speak out and adults listen better when we kind of speak out, because adults don't usually hear us speak out that often. And it's kind of a big thing when we do say something. When we see there's a problem, we need to start speaking out more. And once we start speaking out, others will learn and we can help.
We're tired of stories of abuse. Mm-hmm. We're tired of stories of victimhood. We're tired of waiting for rescue from programs and services. And we want to smash that stereotype of the drunken Indian. In Harold's book, he says he was speaking to a young Cree teenager who told him, like, that's what it means to be an Indian. You drink. And Harold's, that's not true, but that's what some people believe. There's that story that's going around that even the youth are believing. And it's like, no, we need to tell the real story, the true story. The traditional way of life for Indigenous people did not include alcohol. That is not the traditional way. And it's time to start talking about that and to talk about, like I said, the 35% of Indigenous people do not drink alcohol, are living very amazing lives and are being wonderful role models and creators and visionaries. And the youth need to hear about these people, and so that they can have a choice. And these kids recognize that they have power to choose, and they have that leadership spark in them. They're all like that. Tavian calls himself a modern day warrior. I love that. And he inspires all of us. Yeah. And Beto and Ty are real leaders too. And so are the kids in Prince Albert. And they realize that it comes from inside out. That's how change is going to happen. And it's going to happen one person at a time. And they're having the courage to stand up and say, okay, I'm one of them.
Thank you for listening to Truth Be Told podcast from Sheridan Life Radio. I'm your host, Danielle Orr. Special thanks to Cameron Corrigal, Ty Satie, Cato Satie, and Tracy Carlson.
Giving it all we can, giving it all.